Hi, this is Jeff Tippett, author of Unleashing Your Superpower, Why Persuasive Communication is the Only Force You Will Ever Need. I'm a subject matter expert in persuasive communication, and this is Digital Explained to My Mom.
Hi, welcome to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wah-wah. My name is Sultan Simlali. I'm a business consultant passionate about marketing and technology. A couple of months ago, I had a hard time explaining to my mom what I was doing in my day job. I struggled so much that she politely said, interesting. Would you like more coffee? Talking about an experience with friends and colleagues, I realized that I was not alone. This is why I have decided to go on a quest. Find a marketing professional that will be able to tell me who they are, what they do, in words my mom would understand. Enjoy the show. So today I'm meeting Jeff Tippett, a subject matter expert on persuasive communications. What it means, I don't know. I think I know, but we'll discuss about it today. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being on the call today.
Sultan, thank you for this opportunity to chat and talk and maybe hear even explain persuasive communication.
Yes, please, because I have some big problems in persuading my whole family of doing anything. Except making me work. So I hope you'll be able to change my life.
Boy, you set the bar pretty high.
So tell me, who are you, Jeff?
Who am I? Well, I'm a father of three kids, first of all, which is they're the love of my life, and they keep me going. I own a public affairs and communications firm based in Raleigh, North Carolina, in the United States. And I also an international speaker and best-selling author.
Amazing. And how did you get where you are now? Maybe not about the kids. We probably don't know how you are.
Well, I will say this little bit about the kids. Two are biological, and I have one that I adopted from the country of Haiti. So that's a little bit of how my family came to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been an entrepreneur. I remember as a kid, I'm going out and getting gigs to rake and mow yards in the neighborhood, and then hiring my friends to come help fulfill those contracts so I could get more contracts. So making things happen has always been part of my life. My graduate degree is in English, and so I come from a communications background. And for those of us that work in PR, marketing, and advertising, you know, typically our objective here is to get information out to people. How do we disseminate this information out into the right channels? But from my perspective, and having worked with clients and amazing clients like Airbnb, for example, that it's more than just getting information out there. We have to be able to prompt and convince our users to take the steps, to take the action that we want them to take. And that's the basis for persuasive communication.
Okay. And how do you get to get people to do what you want them to do?
Great question. For me, my aha moment, like the big new story here for me, came through adopting this child from the country of Haiti. And in my new book, I walk through the entire story there. So I encourage you to check it out. Check out that story of bringing her here. But I had this moment when I was in Haiti and the whole adoption collapsed. And at that point, it was over. The country was falling apart. The president was being run out of office. And the office that I needed to sign a document, my final document, was shut down with no anticipated opening. And I found myself in a situation in front of this government official, just telling him over and over what it was that I wanted him to do. And I was saying things like, I need you to sign this document. I need you to complete my adoption. This is now my daughter. I need to get her to the U.S., and I need you to sign this document. And Sultan, he looked at me and said, no. And I had seconds to pull this thing back together. Like, this was it. Like, this was the culmination of 6.5 months worth of work, and I was just told no. So, Sultan, drawing on the little bit of knowledge that I had of Haitian culture that I had learned during my 6.5 months on this journey, I knew that Haitians cared about family and children, and especially babies. So I turned my message around and I presented it something like this. I said, most likely you value family. And through my translator, he shakes his head, yes. And I said, you probably love kids. And again, yes. And then I said, you most likely think that Haitian babies are just jewels. And I get a yes. And I pick up the document and I hand it to him. And I said, this document represents a little girl by the name of Jeannine. She doesn't have a home. She doesn't have a family. She doesn't have any financial resources. She doesn't have anyone to love her, anyone to provide an education for her. But you can give that to her if you will just sign this document. And Sultan, within 10 minutes, he signed the document, and I was out and on my way, and my final document was completed.
Wow.
So my aha moment here, it wasn't like, you know, angels coming down from heaven. There was like no big thunder, and I wasn't changed from one person to another. But what I began to understand here is that when I take it away from me and what I want to accomplish and allow my audience, the person that I'm working with, for their desires and their wants to shine through, and I figure a way to capture their attention, when I figure a way how to connect and make an emotional connection and bond with them, and then I find language that convinces them, that at that point, I've operated in persuasive communication.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's no, like the... being an artist, like I get this inspiration out of the blue to do something. It's really about bringing the pieces together, all the research you've done over the last 6.5 months, understanding the culture of this government official, but it can also be of customers, and then being able to tell a story that will touch them emotionally.
Exactly. And what I learned about myself was that up until this point, I was more likely to manipulate than I was to persuade. And I define it this way. Manipulation means to control or to influence a person or a situation, but to do it cleverly or to do it unfairly. So like persuasion, manipulation does seek to move a person to a different place, but we're doing it for our own good, out of our own self-interest. Now, let's contrast that with persuasion. Persuasion means to cause someone to do something, but to do it through reasoning or argument. And the word argument here isn't what we do when we're in these battles with people. It's really allowing two people to talk about what's important to them, like what they value and what they're looking for. And then we cause this other person to do something, but it's especially after sustained effort and having provided sound reasoning. And so I look for two magical words to know at the end of a conversation if I have persuaded or I have manipulated. And those two words are, that's right. Here's what I mean by that. When I finish up a conversation with a potential client and they look at me and they say, Jeff, that's right. You can provide the solution that our company needs. You can provide what it is that we're after. You can fix this problem. That's right, Jeff. And they're pulling the checkbook out like they're ready to move forward. Why? Because they want it for themselves just as much as I want it. And the techniques and things that I walk through in the book can apply whether it is in digital communication, whether it's in face-to-face communication, whether it's in negotiation, whether it's in attracting and retaining top employees and top talent. All of these principles apply to all of those areas.
Yeah. So if you would look at digital, since the podcast has the name digital into it, how would that be different from real life?
Absolutely. So what I walk through in the book, and the same thing from stage that I think is going to be perfect for your audience here, is what I refer to as the three C's. And these are the three C's that take us from hello all the way to them signing on and saying yes. And we'll hit these individually if you like. First of all is capture. How do we capture our audience? And the three easy steps here, and the first one is around messaging and crafting a simple message. I think this is extremely important, maybe even more important in the digital space than in a face-to-face space, of making sure that you craft a message so simple that your audience can understand it. Albert Einstein said it this way. He said, if you can't explain something simply, you don't know enough about it. And you know, we know that most people are reading on a 7th, 8th grade level. And so when we try to write in too elevated, it doesn't make our audience think we're smart. It actually alienates them. So how do we craft a simple message? And I walk through that in the book of how you create this message. And again, for the digital crowd, this is extremely important. And then the second one is how do we capture their attention? But how do we capture it early? Like we, especially in the digital space, people are exiting, they're abandoning quicker than ever. So what do we do to capture people's attention? You know, we say that the thumb rules. And what that means is that most people are on their digital, their mobile devices, and they're scrolling with their thumb. And the thumb's making this decision whether to click or not. So how do you capture their attention? And then the third part of this first section of capture is how do you make it sticky? Like we want our messages to stay with our audience a week, a month, a year after they've met us or had conversations with us. So how do we make our message sticky? And brands, some brands have done a great job with that. You know, things like Got Milk or What Happens Here Stays Here. Mm-hmm. Things like that, those messages stay with the audience. So the first part of this is how do you capture their attention?
Yeah. And then the next step will be, how do you convert them?
And then the next step is it's around connecting. Mm-hmm. I think this is the secret sauce. And sometimes we feel like we can't connect on the digital space versus in real life. But I'm going to challenge that because I do think that we can find ways to have a great connection. And the way that we do it, I have three steps for connecting with your audience. The first one is help others find their win so you win. Zig Ziglar said it this way. He said, you'll get everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. And so, Alton, I think this is like one of the places where we miss this. We make it all about us. Mm-hmm. We make our ads about us. We make our copy about us. It is not about us ever. It is always about our audience. Mm-hmm. And when I'm looking, for example, at emails and people that are working to send out mass emails and communication digitally through email marketing, most times they're talking about themselves. True. They're talking about their product. They're talking about their goods or services. What they're not talking about is the audience. Mm-hmm. And the audience. And another tip here I would give, Sultan, you and the audience as well, a lot of times when we're creating these digital email pieces, these mass pieces, we write to a list of people.
Yeah.
People know that. Quit writing to a list of people and write to a single person. I encourage attendees in the meetings where I do, when I do breakout sessions, don't write to this whole group of people. Visualize a single person in your distribution list and write your email like you're writing straight to that person. Mm-hmm. They will know it. It will help you. It will help you there make that connection with them. So we do this through helping them find their win. We do it through making this connection, this bond with them. And then the third part of this connection here is trust. We have to find ways. This is extremely important, especially in digital. How do we find ways that our audience will trust us, mm-hmm. and that they will believe in us, and you know that they'll be more likely to take steps forward with us because they trust us? And then finally, the last part of this, the last C here, is convince. How do we convince our audience? Three ways to do that. First of all, is how do we position our message, mm-hmm. so people say yes. And in the book, I walk through things like loss aversion versus prospect theory. Most people think that prospect theory will capture their attention, but actually loss aversion captures it more quickly. And I explain that in the book. Emotion versus logic, understanding that people buy for emotional reasons, yeah. and then they justify logical through reason. Logic.
Yeah.
Exactly. But and how about this one? The third one that I talk about in positioning your message is binary versus non-binary options. Sometimes we feel like our offer, our call to action is black, white, yes or no. But can we find multiple ways that things might could move forward for people? I have a whole chapter on crafting a call to action that users can't resist. I think this chapter of all will probably be a great benefit to your audience as well. Mm-hmm. In this book, in this chapter, I walk through 13 ways to craft a call to action that your users can't resist. And then the final thing in convincing is to set yourself up as the industry expert. Mm-hmm. When you find your niche area, you drill down, you understand what you're really good at, and you can separate yourself from everyone else by drilling down so far. You set yourself up to be searched out by other people and also to command higher fees.
Yeah, but how do you, this one is really intriguing because there's a huge marketing trick to say I'm the expert in, and the world is full of experts that don't know anything. So I mean, if I look at, we just did an episode on blockchain and I was looking in my network for on LinkedIn for a blockchain expert. And I type blockchain expert, then I get probably 50% of all LinkedIn users are blockchain experts. And so unless I miss something about LinkedIn, it's probably that people use a lot of bullshit. So how do you define your area of expertise? And how do you justify it? And how do you make sure that it makes sense? And
great,
and that it's true. Yeah,
those are great. I love it, and I think you're exactly right in your analysis of this. I think that this starts with us having the goods. First of all, like we have to be able to show proof. Mm-hmm. And then, like for example, you know, I'll take my case. You know, I have over a decade, 15 years now of working in PR, marketing, and advertising, and I have done some amazing work, great awards for my work that shows a background of being able. And I do a lot of public affairs work, so we help move laws forward or stop laws. And so I have a track record of success. So I have the educational background, I have the track record of success. And I think for me, the third part of this is it's who I am as a person. Like, I am not just a communicator. Mm. To me, that's step one. It's not enough. I need to communicate, but I need to prompt my audience to take the step that I want them to take. So I have the background. I have the awards. I have the client portfolio. I have the personal love, the personal passion in this space. So it is authentic to who I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can really hear your passion. That's really exciting. So I watched some of your YouTube videos. I really recommend them. They're great to watch. And you can really feel the passion. I think that passion piece is probably one of the keys to success, besides being competent, of course. What is the biggest, or probably besides the adoption of your daughter, which was probably a huge moment in your life, what is one of your biggest accomplishments and where you are the most proud of?
Right now, I am super proud of my new book. We launched it about 30 days ago, landed number one internationally in 10 different categories. 30 days out, I'm still in the top 10. So I'm extremely excited. I'm grateful for the reception of my new book. I put over a year's worth of work in it, pretty much giving out everything that I do professionally to help people understand how I do what I do so that they can persuade and they can convince others.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get to write a book? So it's part of my bucket list of things that one day I'll write a book. It's a huge adventure. So how do you find a time? How did you go about it to get actually that fantastic book out?
Well, first of all, let me say congratulations to you for having this on your bucket list. I can tell you professionally that books and being an author are one of the top tools that I have to attract new clients, new speaking gigs, things of that nature. And I also use it as gifts. I will give away books to people. So it is an incredible tool. For me, it took a year to write. And I wish I could tell you that every week I just set aside 5 hours and I was just consistently writing and I was extremely disciplined throughout that whole process. But there are very few people that actually write that way. And sometimes that is a mental barrier for us to get started writing. And so in my case, it wasn't that way. I launched out, started writing. I was so excited. I just popped out several chapters up front. And then life gets busy and my job got busy. Family life gets busy. And I would put it down. And that's fine. Whenever we're ready, then we just pick this back up again. There were times, Sultan, when I just wanted to quit. I did quit. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this book. I'm not going to finish it. This is too much. It's just not going to work. I quit, and I would quit. And then I get up the next morning, all right, let's get back at this. One of the things that I found that helped me, and this isn't something that people can replicate as much as finding their own path, but what really worked for me was I would take weekends away, and I would block off like a long weekend, like 3 days. And I would go out of town, and I would really focus on writing. And I would spend like a solid 8 to 10 hours a day writing. And then that evening, I would go do something fun in the city and explore the city, and then come back and write the next day. And that was extremely helpful. But if I did anything right, Sultan, and I would say I just didn't give up.
That's amazing. Yeah, being able to isolate yourself and work is probably one of the best tips you could give to get things done.
And realize all writers go through these periods, like where we get frustrated with our work, we hate it. And I think going into this, sometimes people don't understand that and they think they're not normal. It is very normal. It is very normal to get in and things just not go the way that you have them planned. Take a breath. That's really okay. When you're ready, and when your mindset is back in that place, then go back at it and pursue it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the show is called Digital Explain to My Mom. And so my question to you would be, does your mom know what you do? How do you explain? And how would I explain to my own mom? I met this guy named Jeff Tippett. He's an expert in persuasive communications. So how can I tell that story in a simpler way?
So as far as my mom goes, she kind of knows what I do. I don't know that anyone fully understands what I do because people come from different backgrounds. She knows that I speak professionally for a living. She also knows that I own a firm and I work with clients. She does not fully grasp the intricacies of what I do or exactly what I speak and the problems that I solve for businesses. She doesn't fully understand that, but she does understand the basics of I speak and I own a communications firm.
And was she one of your first victims in persuasive communications?
Yeah, as a kid, that was my role, was to persuade my parents to do what it was that I wanted them to do. That's why I tested a lot of this.
So I guess you need to give them some money back from the book, probably. Then.
Some book sales, I'll share with them, yeah.
Imagine one of your kids turns 18 and needs to go to college or doesn't want to go to college and doesn't know what to do with their life or maybe someone you don't know, what would be the key advice you would give them to start their career?
Well, one of the things that I'm personally excited about right now, looking at the landscape, especially here in the United States, is this move away from only having a singular path into a successful career. Now, many of us do need a 4, 6, 8 year background in college. Other people in their professions may not. And we're seeing a lot of entrepreneurs, for example, go in into these groups, into these incubators, and get mentored by people that are already there in their profession. So I think for me, at least from my perspective, is figure out what it is you want to do. And for us as a society to value people and value the things that they bring to the table, the things that they fix. For example, my heating system recently went out on a Sunday evening. Can I tell you how happy I was to pay that money the next day to someone who can do HVAC repair and how much I value him and how grateful I am to him? So for me, at least from my perspective, it's figure out what it is. What brings you joy? Mm-hmm. What brings you passion? What gets you out of bed? And realizing especially in today's world, we may not fully do that for our entire career, but can it at least launch you into a direction and then get in, be brave and explore and try things out to make sure it's exactly what you want to do.
Words of a wise man.
Or at least words. We'll leave it at that.
Well, you're bold like me, so this is usually a sign of wiseness. So what's next for you, Jeff?
So continuing to build my speaking business is a real passion of mine right now. There is something in, like for me internally when I'm on stage and I can share concepts and I can pepper in stories that makes those concepts come alive to my audience, and they can leave and they can walk away even with just one little piece of that, that can over time drastically change their life. That excites me. So I want to continue building out my speaking business, continue to grow that. I am fortunate to speak internationally. I want to continue to build that out as well. And believe it or not, I'm already in the process of thinking through my next book and what I want to do with
Amazing.
That.
No, that sounds great. So we're looking forward to your next books as well. How can people connect with you, Jeff?
Easiest way is through my website, jefftippett.com, jefftippett.com. And sometimes they get anywhere close. I've got Google ads on all kind of misspellings of my name, so they will likely find me. If they get close there from that, they can sign up for my newsletter. And I send out a weekly email on communications tip. They can also find me on social media and connect there so we can have some conversations online. But I encourage people to find me and start a conversation.
Amazing. Well, I really want to thank you for taking the time for the call, for interview today. I wish you all the best of luck with unleashing your superpower. And I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Sounds great, Sultan. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for being such a gracious host.
Thanks. Bye, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wah-wah. If you like the podcast, please rate it with 5 stars on iTunes or the podcasting app you use. Remember that sharing is caring, so feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. You will find the show notes on our website, digitalexplaintomymom.com. I'm looking forward for your feedback, ideas, and more. So let's connect on LinkedIn. My name is Sultan Simnali, or on Twitter, where I go by the name of Sultanology. The music you have heard is from bensound.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.